This interview you're about to hear is with a Ugandan lady. I've known her for several years. I think she's in her 40s. And I wanted to start out the interview by asking her to tell me a couple of things she's seen in Africa, which people wouldn't have seen growing up in somewhere like Europe. Just to give those of you who are not familiar with life in Africa an impression of how different it is. So, without further ado, let's jump straight into the interview.
So, your name is?
Anne.
And you're from which country?
Uganda.
Okay. A lot of people don't really understand how different it is living in a lot of African countries compared to living in Europe or wherever. Can you tell me a couple of maybe things that you've seen in Africa?
It was one time in war. We were in war. I don't remember if it was Museveni. Yeah, Museveni getting on. I don't remember because I was young.
How young were you, roughly?
I was like probably 10.
Okay.
10, 11, 12. Mm-hmm. There.
And just before you go on, Museveni is the current prime minister, right? Or is he president?
President, yeah.
Okay, the current president of Uganda. And so you think this might have been the time when he was rising to power and there was some kind of conflict going on in Uganda at the time. Okay, so sorry, continue.
Yeah, so it was almost the end of the war, and I think Obote was overthrown by Museveni.
Okay.
And then people in the country were looking for, like every single time they saw Obote's soldier, they would actually stone them. Or bat them with tires, like car tires.
Mm.
So there was this incident after war where I was living in a flat and we had a balcony and you would see over. And there was this guy, he was they said he was Obote's soldier.
Mm-hmm.
So if one person says the word Obote soldier, everybody will run towards you.
Mm.
So this is what happened. This one guy said, isn't this Obote soldier? So everybody, because they had Obote soldier, they all came with stones. They started stoning the guy. And I remember the guy is down on the floor. The soldier is down on the floor and this guy picking up a big stone and actually just throwing it on the guy. And that was the end of the guy. And seriously, these guys got these massive stones as well. They started stunning the guy, like his head, like the skull was literally broken.
Mm.
And he was left there overnight.
Mm.
So it's like the body was there. It was like in the evening. So the body was there overnight until the next day. So all we could see over the balcony was this guy, the body of this guy, just on the floor.
Mm.
Blood all over the place.
Mm.
With the head flat.
Wow. So his head was like squashed.
Yeah.
Wow. And this was outside the flats where you lived?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm.
And of course, there were also others. I was just walking to town and there was this guy being chased because they used to call them Banyanya.
Mm.
If someone says Omunyanya, that's it.
Mm.
They used to chase that person and get them. I don't know where they got the tires from. As I was walking, they chased this guy, started beating him and beating him. All the next thing I saw is people coming with car tires and see like there were like four car tires. The guy was put in the middle of these tires and poured petrol on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was hunt in the middle of the road where everyone was looking. The guy was just burnt.
And yeah. this was in what kind of area? Like in a
town center.
In a town center. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This was in,
you know,
Kampala?
Next to the car park. Yeah. Wow. Next to Kampala car park.
Wow. And, you know, in case anybody doesn't know, Kampala is the capital city of Uganda. Now, growing up in Uganda, when is the first time you remember hearing anything about witchcraft?
The first time?
Yeah.
When I was in school.
What kind of age, roughly?
Like, I was, like, roughly 12 years old.
Okay. And yeah. What kind of things did you hear?
Well, first and foremost, like, I had things like someone, this was in church actually, someone being bewitched and they're pregnant for how many years. And when she came to church, they prayed for her. The next day she went to hospital. Well, she got contractions, and the next day she went to hospital and gave birth.
Mm.
But she was pregnant for many years. So, it was a burden for her.
So you mean that she was getting pregnant, but what? She would have a miscarriage every time, or she was just pregnant constantly for years and never gave birth?
Yeah, she never gave birth.
But
she was just pregnant once.
Wow.
She never gave birth.
For years?
Yeah.
Okay, that is...
I think it was like 5 years.
So she had a lump, a bump for 5 years?
Yeah.
Wow, that is actually bizarre. And this wasn't a fat woman?
No, she was a normal woman. Like, normal woman. Everybody knew her to be, yeah, the pregnant woman who has been pregnant for a long time. And everyone knew, actually, that it was witchcraft.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's, of course, not normal.
Did they know who bewitched her or why they did it?
She actually just said someone who did not like her. I do not know the details.
Hmm.
Yeah, but that's all I know. Someone who bewitched her. That's all I know.
Okay. And was there any other things you heard or knew about around that time or later before we get to what happened to you?
Well, like someone... Well, I had stories like people going to witch doctors and getting medicine for their husbands to love them, to love them like too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get home and use the medicine, the husband instead beats them the more.
Oh, no.
Like I had stories. Yeah, had stories like that. And then I had stories of a woman who was a witch, and she had a snake. She gave birth to a snake.
Wow.
And this snake was living in her house. And for years, people were going to her to like speak to the snake, which they called Jaja, which means grandmother.
Mm.
So they used to go to that snake and call it Jaja. What we want you to do this for us, we want you to do that for us. So they used to pay loads and loads of money, and they said things used to happen for them. I do not know how. If they wanted to kill someone, they would go there and face that snake, and the mother of the snake would, of course, she was human, but the child snake. And many people were bound. Many people had problems with sickness and disease. But the day when that house was burnt down with a snake and the mother, many people got freed from witchcraft. Yeah.
So people paid the woman, because you said people paid the snake. Snakes.
They paid, of course, the snake is the child, and the mother is the, you know, the human.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they paid the mother, because what is the snake going to do with the money?
Money, anyway. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the snake rocking up at the shop, you know, trying to buy some Louis Vuitton or something.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton.
All right. Okay, so that's a bizarre story about it. Oh, Jesus, help me, please. Oh, my God. Okay, so I'm going to have to edit the laughing out. Okay, so
it's you, man. You're the one laughing.
I know.
You're not professional.
Because the story is so bizarre.
I told you.
That shit is crazy, man. But you said that they called the snake Jaja, right?
Yeah.
Which you said means. Yeah.
Grandmother. Yeah.
Okay. In Luganda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, two things that you heard then. And what about after the incident that happened to you when you were older? Did you hear about anything else happening? Did you hear any stories about human sacrifice?
Yeah, mostly with the albinos.
Mm.
Yeah. With the albinos. And because one day I asked an aunt who was an albino, I asked her, because I had a story about them that they don't die, but they just get lost in the forest.
Mm.
And I just remembered I've never seen an albino being buried, so I believe the story. So I asked her, so is it true that when albinos die, they just disappear? She just kept quiet.
Wow.
And then she just kept quiet. And then she told me that the only thing I know is they... witch doctors are looking for my body parts to use it,
mm-hmm.
to use them, to sell them,
mm.
that they cost a lot.
Mm.
That's why they say albinos get lost
uh-huh.
in the forest.
Yeah.
Because they steal them, they snatch them to use their body parts
mm.
for witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all she knew.
So it's not that they're disappearing in a cloud of smoke, but they're literally... their bodies are being seized and body parts are being, I guess, hacked off and sold to make potions or whatever they do with them.
Yeah.
Mm. But I had heard, maybe you also know about this, I had heard about human sacrifice, not only in Uganda, but definitely I'd heard about it in Uganda, where somebody will set up a business
mm-hmm.
and... they have someone sacrificed on the foundations of the building, and then they build the building on top of them. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, that's common.
Common?
Yeah, it's very common.
So, what, most people in Uganda know about this?
Well, not it's not common for humans, but it's common with animals.
Okay.
Like before they build... but it's just less common with humans.
But you have heard about it with humans going on?
Yeah.
Mm. So it's common for them to, what, kill a sheep or an animal or whatever?
Or a chicken, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or goats on the foundation of the house.
So this is like the...
before building it.
And What about things like strange creatures or strange entities in Uganda? Have you ever heard of anything like that? Like living in the woods or here or there? Like.
Well, long time it was a story in my village, and they used to say that in the mountains, if you go, because there were certain mountains, if you go there, you in the rocks, you will see green people. That, and like kids loved going there to play, but then of course, because of them stories, they were afraid of going there.
So, what about certain people having charms? You know, where somebody might go to a witch doctor and he wants to have some type of power or ability. So he gets a charm placed upon him so he can do things that are superhuman, you know, or things that can protect him. Have you heard about these kind of things?
Like they, some parents used to say that they get, well, some kids used to say their parents gave them some things, some like a charm to take to school so that they perform well in class. I don't know if it worked or it didn't work. I think that was the common one.
Well, one of the common ones that I've heard of from many different people
Yeah.
who grew up in Africa is there are some people, especially men, who end up in the military or maybe they're gangsters, and they put charms on themselves where they can become invisible, and another charm where they can become impervious to knives or bullets, you know, so knives and bullets cannot penetrate their skin. Yeah, that is a common one that I've heard from many people. You've never heard of those?
Well, the person was called Lakwena, I think
Okay.
Alice Lakwena. Yeah, she was believed to do that. And everyone talked about how real it was, that there was so much truth to it that no one came up to say it's not the truth. Well, I did not hear no one say it's not the truth.
And this
I
look
was
this sorry this
young.
this Lequeno was, what was she, some kind of soldier?
Yeah,
Okay.
in the bush. But they used to use water to in war. Like they used to use water, they put water on themselves so they can disappear in war.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you see these kind of things, yeah, like people disappearing and all this kind of weird stuff. Do a lot of people in Uganda believe that these things go on? Is it just standard? Everyone says, oh yeah, there are people out here doing all kinds of witchcraft. And is it well known among the general population that this goes on? Or is it something like in England where most people in England don't even believe in anything like witchcraft? They think it's very rare and none of it even works. If someone was to tell the average Ugandan that a high-level politician was involved in witchcraft, would the average Ugandan be shocked? Would they be surprised? Or would they say, oh, I'm not surprised? How is witchcraft seen in Uganda?
No, they wouldn't be shocked.
Okay. Because it's so out in
Yeah.
the open there that, you know, it's not really a surprise to anyone. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, get into what happened to you. Now, what age were you roughly when this incident happened to you?
I was about 20.
Okay, you're about 20.
Mm.
And where were you when this thing happened?
I was in Uganda.
No, but where, like, were you at home, in the street?
Oh, no, I was at home.
Okay, so what exactly happened at
All
first?
right.
How did this whole thing start?
Okay, it was one morning when I woke up to go boarding school. from home to boarding school that morning.
You were in boarding school at 20?
Yeah. I've been in boarding school all my life.
Wow. I didn't know people stayed in boarding school till they're 20 in Uganda.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I've been in boarding school all my life. So I was, that morning is the morning I was going to boarding school from home.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up because our toilets were outside,
mm-hmm.
the pit latrines. With the holes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I woke up and went out to go to the toilet. And as I got in the toilet, I didn't see anything. It was normal. Like, yeah. Mm. When I came out, I stepped or I jumped this stuffed lizard with grass and all that. It was just stuffed with stuff.
Mm.
So I jumped it. And I screamed. I'm like, whoa, what's that? I didn't even see it when I was going in.
Mm.
So I'm like, okay. I just left it.
So you came out of the toilet. You saw this stuffed lizard on the ground and you jumped over it to avoid stepping on it.
Like, I did not know it was there. Like, see when you just open up the door and you're just walking majestically and you jump it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because... yeah, your senses are like, there's nothing. Because I came in, there was nothing.
So, but you didn't actually step your foot on it?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I just jumped it.
Okay.
Yeah. Then I saw it and I'm like, I didn't see it before. How did it get here?
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, maybe it was just, maybe kids playing or whatever. I don't know.
Mm.
So as I was walking towards the door, the back of my... knee of my leg, yeah.
Mm.
See where the knee is, but at the back.
At the back, yeah.
Yeah, it started itching.
Mm.
And it started swelling and itching. I'm like, oh, maybe I brushed onto a plant and stuff.
Mm.
So I scratched and scratched. I went to boarding school. I started scratching and it became bigger and bigger and bigger. So I slept, I went to boarding school. In the morning, the headmaster used to wake us up to go run, to go trotting.
Mm.
So I couldn't wake up. Like, I could wake up, but my leg was swollen and it was hurting. Mm. The joint was hurting. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. So I told guys, please, because if, in boarding school, if you stayed in bed, you will get bitten.
Mm.
They used to take roll calls. So, of course, I told guys I cannot come because I'm not feeling well. My leg hurts.
Mm.
I stayed in bed the whole day. So I went to the sick bay in the evening. They gave me some medicine. I don't even remember what medicine. They told me to go back.
Mm.
And as days went on, the leg just started becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, and I did not know what was going on.
Mm. And this leg, when it was at its most swollen, how big was it? Was it like crazy big?
It was big. It was like 3 times a normal leg.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So it was like somebody who had elephantitis or something.
Yes. Yeah.
So did you think it was that when you had it?
Because you know, someone with that, the skin texture is different.
Okay.
But my skin texture was smooth,
mm-hmm.
and a bit yellowy and ready, like ripe, ready to burst.
Wow.
Or bust with pus and stuff. That's how mine was.
Mm.
But it wasn't rough and scaly and whatever it's called. Yeah. And I went to, they took me to a doctor and the doctor said, of course it was the school doctor.
Mm.
The doctor said, she needs to be taken to a big hospital because we don't know what's wrong.
Mm.
So as I was walking, like I got ready, as I was walking to the offices, there was this old woman who never seen her at all.
Mm.
She told me, young woman, I can see your leg is hurting. But make sure, and I know what's wrong with you, make sure the doctors don't inject that leg with anything or try to take out pus. They might tell you it's full of pus, we're going to inject you and take out the pus, but don't allow them to, because if they once they do, you will die.
Mm.
Okay, I was so scared. And she told me exactly what it was. Mm. That she told me in Luganda, I don't know what it's called in English, but in Luganda it's called talo.
Mm-hmm.
She told me, I know you have a talo, and it's very dangerous. When it grows bigger and it goes to your heart, you die. Mm. And of course, it was growing, going higher, just higher, not lower, higher, towards my heart.
Mm.
So I went to hospital. Exactly what she told me is what happened. The doctor told me, oh, your leg has a lot of pus, so I'm going to go get an injection, a syringe, and try to drain the pus. I told him, no, you're not going to do that.
Mm.
So he said, okay, if I'm not going to do that, then sorry, I can't treat you. So they had to tell my headmaster by then. I don't know. I can't treat her. Mm. Then the headmaster told me, okay, we need to take you back home. So he drove me back home. And I got home, and an auntie of mine, I was dropped at an auntie of mine, and I told her the whole story. They took me to hospital, and that big hospital, they said, they checked me, and they said they had to amputate my leg.
Mm.
They have to amputate my leg, otherwise I am going to die.
Mm.
And of course, when they said that, all I was thinking about is death. My life is finished.
Mm.
So I went to, she's like, okay, I know some people who have had this type of thing, and they went back to witch doctors, and the witch doctors gave them some medicine, and they got healed.
Mm.
So in my heart, I'm like, hell no, I ain't going to no witch doctor. So she took me to her house, where I had a cousin there. And of course, the cousin was Christian, was a born again Christian. And I was a born again, but not too strong. I was just dying to be one.
Mm-hmm.
So she told me, we're going to go to church and pray. We're not going to. So they gave us money in the morning. My aunt was going to work. So she gave us money to go to the witch doctor's, transport and money to give him. And we're like, okay, fine. So we went to church instead, and we met this pastor, and we told him the whole story. All he told us is, just go as the Spirit leads. And I'm like, so what was the point of coming to speak to a pastor just to tell us as the Spirit leads?
Mm.
So we tried to contact people. We tried to go places to look for solutions. Nothing worked. It's like we walked from morning, like 7 o'clock in the morning, till like 11:30 at night.
And during this time, your leg was still hurting. It was still swollen.
It was hurting like crazy. I could not walk. I just needed clutches, because I was walking. My cousin was the one holding me when I was walking. Like she was helping me walk.
Mm-hmm.
So. We went to, well, it was like coming to midnight, and there was no solution, and I was literally dying of pain. So she's like, you know what, let's just go to the witch doctor. I was like, oh my God. So the taxis that were taking us to the witch doctor's place,
mm.
there was only one remaining, and as soon as we got there, they told us, sorry, it's full. We're done. No more. We're taking no more people. I'm like, okay. So I started crying. So she's like, don't cry, don't cry. We need to go get something to eat. So we went somewhere and had food to eat. So suddenly my cousin remembered that when we were eating, sitting down eating, she remembered there was night prayers somewhere. So we went for the night prayers. Throughout the night prayers, I was dozing, to be honest. And every single time I dozed off, someone came and like tapped me, get up, you need to pray, get up. I'm like, just leave me alone, you don't know what I'm going through. But then anyways, that night prayers, the same guy, pastor, who told us go as the Spirit leads, he was the same one conducting those night prayers. So he, when he saw me, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, to cut the long story short, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. He told me, you come here. So I came. I went to him and he told me, do you believe that God can heal you? Do you believe the power of God can heal you? Well, of course, in this situation, I have to say yes, but in my heart, I was like, nothing can heal me. So he's like, today you're going to see the power of God heal you. So he touched my leg and prayed and prayed and prayed. And he said, walk, walk. So I walked. The pain reduced, to be honest, but then my joints were hurting so much. So he continued praying. He touched them and he touched my leg and prayed and prayed and prayed. And he's like, walk again. He prayed like 4 times for me. The fourth time, there was no pain. And he's like, go, make sure you keep in faith, believe that you're healed, and your healing will be permanent. And to be honest, the swelling was there, but the pain was gone. So now to go back home. Now, remember, there was this auntie of mine who had told us to go to the witch doctor. So we went back home in the morning. They were worried, sick. And they actually wanted to beat us, And they were very upset, very worried. So they told us off, like badly told us off. But of course, they wouldn't do anything to me because I was the sick one. They put all the blame, my cousin, because she was the eldest. They blamed her. She took the blame. They didn't beat her. And one thing my auntie said was, all people who go to churches and are prayed for concerning what you had, they always get it back. I told her in front of her face, because it's in Africa, it's rude to speak to your, to speak back to your parent. I told her back in her face, I told her, the God who has saved me is the God who will keep on saving me, and I am not going to get this thing back. She's like, okay, let's wait and see. You'll see. I'm like, okay, we'll see. So, yeah, that's my story.
So this leg,
and I've never got it back.
Now this lizard, right? The stuffed lizard.
Yeah.
I've heard from other Ugandans about this thing happening to other people. So it's definitely, as far as I'm concerned, not only you, where they've stepped over some lizard and they've ended up with this exact, the exact same symptoms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the exact same thing. So once you were prayed over by that pastor, how long before the swelling went down?
It took like probably a week. Yeah.
Okay. And you're convinced that it was the praying that healed you?
Yes, because trust me, if you go to hospitals and everyone tells you you're going to die, and then they give you stories about, oh yeah, we've had people who have had that and they died.
Nobody offered you any antibiotics?
No, no one offered me antibiotics.
Because in hospital, normally, if you have some kind of swelling like that, they'll give you antibiotics, you know, to bring the swelling down. Or maybe,
you know, this is Uganda.
Yeah, obviously. They don't just give out medication willy-nilly.
You have to pay for it, like, expensively pay for them. And I did not have that kind of money. even the checkup was costly. Otherwise, doctors in Africa don't touch you unless you give them the money.
Yeah.
They see you with, they see you're going to die, they'll let you die. First bring the money and we'll touch you. We'll treat you.
Do you think that some of these things which may be brought on by witchcraft, do you think any of them can be killed, be cured with conventional medicine like antibiotics and stuff like that?
I don't think so, because it is spiritual. I really, really don't think so.
Okay. And thankfully, you made a full recovery and you've never had anything like that happen to you again.
No.
But just finally. All right. Well, thank you for the insight into these things, witchcraft and funny goings on, and sharing your experience. So, I thank you.
That's fine.